Praise the Lord. Well, you're ready for the Word of God here tonight. Well, go with me over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And many of you, how many of you got the text here today? Yeah, it was a little different, right? Did you ever see in the Word where the faith of a dog could get somebody healed? Well, you're going to see it here tonight, though that is not the title of my message. Praise the Lord. But we are going to call this message, Faith for Healing Will Not Be Denied. Faith for Healing Will Not Be Denied. Or, you know, a secondary title could be Covenant Faith or Covenant Healing. You know, we're going to talk about, of course, the covenant of God as we so often do around here. If there's one thing that you ever had to know about God, if you're going to understand how He works, you better understand something about covenant. Amen. And that God is faithful to His promises. But how many of you know that covenant is not one-sided? Covenant is two-sided. How many of you know we're His faithful covenant family and He's our faithful covenant God? Amen. He's faithful to us. And we are faithful to Him. You know, we can't just say, oh God, you do everything for us and that we do nothing for you. It doesn't work that way. That's not how covenant works. But if there is a message of God to us, faith will not be denied. Faith will not be turned away. God will not forsake what you believe when it's His word. Amen. He will not forsake your faith. He will not forsake your confession of faith. Amen. He hears faith every time you release it. He does not ignore it. It grabs all the attention of heaven. God is ready to move upon your faith more than He's ready to move upon your desperation or the severity of your problems. But of course, over the last several services, I've been ministering along the topic of divine healing and healing that's in the atonement, the promise of God for healing in our physical bodies. It just came time. It was just right where I've just noticed as a pastor, of course, of two churches, but this one and also the Erie Church, that there was just a need to preach several messages on healing because we got to stir up our faith in that area. Amen. If not for you, then for somebody else. You cannot hear it enough. Amen. And so we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 21. And of course, we're going to talk about the Syrophoenician lady or woman, all right? And of course, we're going to spend most of our time in Matthew chapter 15, but also this same exact passage is duplicated or somewhat similar over in Mark chapter 7, all right? Praise the Lord. And so we may go over and look at Mark's account, but we're going to go over in Mark's account, she's called the Syrophoenician woman. In Matthew's account, she's just called the lady from Canaan, same region. You know, that's like saying I'm from Chautauqua County and also saying I'm from Jamestown, you know, very similar. And so we're going to go over here to Matthew 15, and we're going to read verses 21 all the way down through 28. And what we're going to do is we're going to read this entire passage all at once, all right? And then we're going to go back, which is our normal style here, and go verse by verse. Because there's a lot of good stuff in here, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 15, and let's start in verse 21. I'm reading out of the King James. It says, "Then Jesus went thence," or from there, "and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil," or with a demon. All right, and later on in this passage, we're going to see that what that demon was doing to that young girl was making her sick or ill in some way. And of course, we know that not all healing is the result of a demon present. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes healing is a natural occurrence or a trial in your body. Sometimes it's enforced or it's in place by a demon. You know, you need the help of the Holy Ghost to reveal to you which one that it is. In this case, it is a demon of sickness. Of course, Jesus dealt with something like that over there in Luke chapter 16, Luke chapter 13, he dealt with a woman with a demon of sickness. And so we see that in the scriptures where sometimes a demon can be making somebody sick, but that doesn't mean that every cough or sniffle is a devil, all right? And so you just have to know and you have to be discerning about which one it is. And so we're going to go to verse 21. Don't be, you know, well, anyway, we don't need to go into the fruity and flaky things that are done in the name of weirdness in Christianity. Well, praise the Lord. But here we are, and it says that she was grievously vexed with a devil, and later on we find out that she's sick. And it says in verse 23, it says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought Jesus, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us," or she keeps repeating herself. In verse 24, it says, "But Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet or fit or appropriate to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Whoa! Here we go. Now you're going to see where I got that idea. A dog's faith is going to get somebody healed. Say, oh my goodness, Pastor, did you just call that woman a dog? No, Jesus did. You say, oh my goodness, I'll tell you what, if Jesus would have said that in today's modern politically correct society, they would label him as racist. It would be all over the news. They'd be calling for him to resign. You give up your job right now. You know, you can't be the Lord of Lords anymore. You can't be the King of Kings anymore because you're a racist. Because you called that woman a dog. Well, you have to understand the culture of the time in which Jesus spoke, all right? He actually wasn't just calling that woman a dog in the sense that he was insulting her. It had nothing to do with her looks, had nothing to do with anything like that. Right? Say, well, Pastor, I wasn't even thinking that way. Well, sorry, you're so perfect, and I'm not. But no, he wasn't insulting her is the point that I'm making. The word dog there means somebody that is put outside. All right, that's what it's talking about. Praise the Lord. But she's not going to stay a dog for long. Verse 27, "And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith, be it unto thee even as you wilt. And her daughter was made whole or healed from that very hour." All right, and so that's where we know that this daughter must have been sick in some way or had some condition because she was healed. It wasn't just a devil being cast out of her. She was healed in her body as well. All right, so obviously that's why I say even a dog's faith can get someone healed, and that's what I'm talking about right there. And so maybe a little clickbait in the text here, you know, today, just a little something to make you wonder, you know, what this service was about. Well, let's go back now to verse 21. Let's go back to the beginning of this passage, you know, and let's get what we need to get out of it. Amen. Faith for healing will not be denied. Oh, covenant healing, here we go. And of course, verse 21 just says that where Jesus was going, but drop down to verse 22, and it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil or a demon." All right? And of course, Mark's account says that she is a Syrophoenician woman. All right? Now, when you hear that she's a Canaanite, when you hear that she's a Syrophoenician, if you are covenant-minded, what should instantly start processing through your mind? This woman has no covenant, all right? You understand, she is not a Jew. She is not, obviously, the term Christian had not been established yet, but she has no covenant with God. She has no access to God. She has no approach to God. She has no promise from God. God has no legal responsibility to that woman at all. And I'll tell you what, that sounds harsh and that sounds mean. Of course, did the Lord love that woman? Yes. Did he have a plan for her? Yes. But in Jewish terms, and under Jewish law, which Jesus was under the obligation to follow, he was not to deal with her in any way because she was outside of the covenant of God. She was not a Jew. She was not a daughter of Abraham. She had no approach or access to God. Folks, don't take your covenant with God lightly. Do you understand the approach that we have to God, the access that we have in Jesus' name, that no matter where we are, we can go in the presence of God and he will not shut us out? We are not outsiders. We are not dogs. We are children of the living God. Amen. You know, so often we just take it for granted. We just think all throughout history and human time that everybody just had this approach to God. No, they did not. Even Jesus is going to, in our modern idea, in our modern politically correct society, in modern terms, he is going to shut this woman right out. He is not even going to talk to her. See, boy, do you hear the silence in this church? Because when we look at the scripture, we have to remember God deals with everything through the eyes of covenant. You know, a sinner can go and cry out to God all they want, but until they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he does not hear them. He does not respond to a sinner except if it's in the terms of I repent and I make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. That's the only time. And then they will become alive unto God and they're granted that access. Amen. And so now in verse 22, we see this woman of Canaan, or Mark's gospel says a Syrophoenician woman, comes out of the same coast and cried unto him. Look what she says. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Isn't that an interesting thing for a Canaanite to say? All right, because what did David do? David put the hurt on the Canaanites, you know, and also, of course, well before David in the terms of Joshua and so on. We're talking about Israel that conquered the Canaanites. And now notice she's using covenant language that does not belong to her. She's trying to get Jesus' attention by speaking in Jewish language, meaning, or covenant Jewish language. But look at, of course, Jesus' response to her in verse 23. But he answered her not a word. She was right next to him or within, you know, vocal distance, and he acted like he did not hear her. Boy, some of you are getting upset. This isn't the Jesus I know. Well, Jesus isn't trying to be rude or racist or anything. He's just focused on the covenant of Israel. Amen. You have to know and understand what's going on. She is not a Jew. Think about what she must be thinking at this moment. All right? No covenant, no access. She's an outsider without promise. God has no legal responsibility for her, and she's using covenant language that doesn't belong to her in the hopes of getting Jesus' attention. And notice in verse, you know, at the end of verse 23, she says, Jesus, my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. So how many of you know she is in a desperate situation? She is in a severe situation. Notice again in verse 23, Jesus answered her not a word. Notice, he was not moved with the severity of it. He was not moved by her desperation. He was still walking. He was ignoring her. So, don't want to say amen to that. Some of you are really shocked. Because, see, we have to get it in our hearts and our minds, and we need to realize that God only hears when we speak to him from covenant. We have to know and understand that not everybody in history had the access to God and could say, Father, Father. We can come before God and be heard and have confidence that he hears us. And when he does hear us, we know that he answers the petitions that we desire of him. Amen. Not everyone had that. And Jesus acted like he didn't even hear her. Was he trying to be insensitive? No. Was he trying to be mean? No. But he just isn't going to be moved because the woman is desperate, did not move Jesus. Because the situation was severe, did not move Jesus. All right? So much to the point that he would not answer this woman. His disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, because she keeps crying after us. That word cry means to shout and to you know, she's making a scene, right? She's really desperate to get Jesus' attention, so much as disciples say, Lord, will you just say something to her? She's annoying. Think about this. Oh, that insensitive preacher Jesus. Wow, just like all these preachers. Just must have gotten high in the hog about himself. Won't even talk to this woman. Oh, that's what some people would try to say today. But God, he's not moving because of her severity or her desperation. God is full of compassion, but he's moved by covenant. Jesus, do you think Jesus had compassion for that woman? Of course he did. All right, and I'm in no way trying to make Jesus look insensitive. I'm using it as a way, you know, Jesus is making a bold statement here, showing us just how much covenant is required to get his attention. Amen. Amen. We have to know and understand that he wasn't moved by severity. Praise the Lord. He is just moved by covenant. Amen. All right, so you could say it this way. There is no answer for the one that is outside the covenant of God. It was hopeless without the covenant. The disciples were annoyed, and they asked Jesus to send her away. Just say something to make her leave them alone, right? Amen. We can tell God how grievous our situation is. We can tell him 100 times how severe it is, how much it hurts, how bad it is, or how, you know, financially trying it is. But God is not going to move until he hears you say, I believe your word. He is not going to do something just because it's getting severe. Amen. No matter how grievous the situation is, we must start believing him, saying to the Father, I believe you. I believe you, Father, when your word says this. I receive your word when it says this. I believe your word when it says this. All right, I believe your word because this chapter, this verse over here, Father, says this. Therefore, I believe it. Therefore, I'm not walking away until I have what your word says. Amen. Praise God. It wasn't severity that meant anything to Jesus. All right, it wasn't severity. It wasn't desperation. He needed this woman to put faith in him. Come on. Because right now, she's not consumed with faith in him. She's consumed by the desperation of her problems. If you are consumed with the desperation of your problems, you can beg, plead God all you want. It will not move him. It does not move his power. God has compassion. He wants to help, but he's bound by his own word. He can't move because desperation does not move him. Faith moves him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so let's go down to verse 24. And now, of course, Jesus, okay, first she's crying out. He answers not a word. Then the disciples say, please say something to her and make her go away. And Jesus answers again in verse 24. But he answered, he's talking to the disciples. He says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's saying, I'm sent to the covenant people of God. She is not a covenant person of God. Therefore, I have zero responsibility to her. Say, Pastor, you're really painting Jesus out. No. I am trying to get you to understand it's covenant and covenant alone. Because here's the good news. You're not this woman. Here's the good news. You are in the covenant now. Jesus is not trying to answer you not a word. You're not in that situation, but you need to appreciate where you are in this covenant. And of course, this woman is going to break through the barriers here in just a moment, and we're going to see why. Praise the Lord. Jesus was sent to God's covenant people. This is why he was silent. It's not a matter of being rude or racist. It's not for a lack of compassion or desire to help her. Jesus was limited to and by the covenant. All right. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 24 because you're going to need this a little bit later. Notice he said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice what he's saying. I am not sent to anyone else, but to the covenant people of the house of Israel. All right. Notice he didn't say, healing is not sent, but to the house of Israel. or prosperity is not sent but to the house of Israel. Notice he didn't say the results of the promises. Notice he said he was the issue. He was himself is what was being sent. And I know right now you're going to hold on to that. And right now that's kind of not clicking in your mind. Like, okay, Pastor, what are you getting at? I just need you to hold on to this because we're going to come to this here in a few moments. Jesus was not saying, healing or prosperity or the freedom of fear. Notice he said, I am sent to the house of Israel. I am sent. So often we, and I don't want to steal the thunder right here, but I can tell I need to fill you in a little bit. So many times we want the healing, we want the prosperity, we want the deliverance and the freedom from this and that, but we don't want him. All right? And so now you're understanding why. What was she after? She was after healing for her daughter, right? All right? And now, and that was the mode of her desperation. She's going to change that here in just a minute, and that's what's going to get Jesus' attention, and we're going to talk about it. All right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus was saying, I, himself, is sent to Israel. Not just healing, not just prosperity, Jesus himself. And I'm going to show you why it's so important. Amen. Go to verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. More desperation, more severity, and still nothing. All right? She even tried to worship him. It's a good step, but still, watch this. Jesus, again, is going to turn, after he ignored her, after he told his disciples, I'm not talking to her. I'm only sent to the house of Israel. Then she comes and throws herself down in front of him, worshiping him. All right? And now watch what he says to her. Verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet, fit, or appropriate to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Whoa! Here you thought we were getting, politically incorrect. Well, now we're really there. Because then Jesus, he's ignored her. Right? He said, I'm not talking to her. When the disciples said, she throws herself down in front of him and he says, I'm not casting the children's bread to the dogs. Meaning, here's the children, you're a dog, I'm not giving this to you. All right? Again, dog is not an insult, though I'm sure she didn't take it as a compliment. He's just saying, there's a difference. And that's what we're going to talk about. There's a difference between a child and a dog. Big difference between a child and a dog. And folks, I am an animal lover, right? I know you have dogs at home or cats at home. I would, like to have a dog. It just so happened, that it just didn't work out, with my wife and Michael, my son, being a little allergic to dogs. So, but for some reason, cats don't bother us. So we have cats, and I've become kind of a cat guy anyway through the years. And so I love my pets. When my favorite cat died back in 2008, I cried like a little baby. I mean, I wept and I cried and all that. And so how many of you know you can love a pet, you can enjoy a pet, but how many of you know there's nothing like your child? Amen. How many of you know your child is called to sit at the dinner table with you, but your dog is not? All right. How many of you know your child, they shouldn't be at least. So you're like, well, I don't know. Mine sits at the dinner table with me. Oh, dear Lord, humor me for the illustration's sake, right? where we're going with this. How many of you know, legally speaking, your dog does not get your last name? How many of you know, and I know, boy, people are doing some wild things today. They're trying to take all these animals on airplanes and stuff. But how many of you know, if you have a child and a dog, your child will be your heir? I know people are leaving lots of money to their dogs and their cats and the Humane Society and all this stuff. But how many of you know your heir, your posterity is your children? Amen. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He said the children are invited to the table. The children are inside the Father's house. Dogs get put outside the Father's house. All right? Children take the Father's last name. The children receive an inheritance from the Father. The dogs get put out. The dogs are not included. The dogs don't get the last name. They don't go into the will. You have to understand here, aren't you glad to be a child here tonight? See, you got to see in verse 26, we're talking about child versus dog. All right? Amen. And in God's eyes, you're a child, not a dog. You're called to the table. You're given His name. You are an heir of God, a co-heir with Christ. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you and brought you to the table. Praise the Lord. All right, we have to remember we're a child, not a dog. We're invited to the table. We have a seat. We have access to the Father. Amen. Dogs are not welcome, are not nearly in the same position as children. Okay, hold your place here in Matthew chapter 15, and let's go over to Mark's account of this same story and go over to Mark chapter 7 and verse 27. The verse, not the airplane. Yeah, Mark 7, 27, go over there. Turn in your Bibles, hold your place there in Matthew 15. We're going to come right back to it. Go to Mark 7, 27. And now this is the same account. And Mark records a little extra what Jesus said. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. I like that. Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet, fit, or appropriate to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. First of all, let's talk about a fun fact here. Notice who gets filled and blessed first. The children. Amen. Boy, you all seem really excited about that. Yeah. Jesus said, let the children first be filled. Notice God wants to feed you first. God wants to fill you up. God wants to give you more than enough. Notice what's on the mind of the Father, the children. What is God thinking about right now? His children. Who is He wanting to provide for right now? His children. Who does He want to see walking in perfect health? His children. Who does He want to see walk completely free from fear and anxiety? The children. Glory to God. You know, if the dog's afraid, who cares? I mean, I'm just going to say it. Let's just say it. You know, real bold. Of course, you know, we're good to animals. And since we're on that topic, I don't believe anybody who beats an animal has the heart of God. Anyone that can just say they're going to beat on an animal and think that's okay. So don't misunderstand anything that I'm saying like that. You know, I have a rule. Of course, we don't have a dog anymore, but, you know, we have cats at home. My boys have never done this. But if I ever saw, you know, one of my boys pick up a cat by its tail and swing it around and do anything like that, they would get disciplined in our house, because tender-hearted kids they're not cruel and they don't torture animals. Amen. All right. And yes, I'm a hunter, and don't say that that's torture. Come on, hunters. Where was the amen on that? Man, you left me out to dry on that one. And praise the Lord. All right. And so now we see God. Of course, Jesus has the heart of God, and He's saying, let the children first be filled. Let the children first be filled. Boy, I'm sure glad He says that, because God's thinking of us first. Why? Because children are in covenant with the Father. The children bear His name. They are given His house. They are filled with His provision. But more than that, who are the children? They love the Father more. I know they say, dogs is man's best friend, but you know who should be? Children. They love the Father more. Children should serve the Father more. Children have a desire to please the Father more than please themselves. And I know a dog can be loyal, and I know a dog can do sacrificial things and so on, but they shouldn't have the love for their owner like a child has for their father. Amen. This is where child and dog are supposed to differ the most. The children want to please the Father. They want to serve the Father. Children want to be like the Father. And for those of you that have kids, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Children want to be their parents. A dog will never think that way. All right, still to this day, I think about my dad. I think about my mom. I see myself in them. Do you ever do that? You ever, you know, hear something that you say and be like, oh my goodness, that sounded just like my mother. That sounded just like my dad. All right. And, you know, many times that can be a great thing, right? Praise the Lord for it. And so we understand children will want to imitate their father, all right? Or at least we're supposed to be. Jesus was being a good father. Don't feed the dogs until the children are filled and blessed. There's a good father right there. He wasn't being inappropriate or insensitive. He was doing what is right. He was doing the will of the Father. Don't throw the bread that belongs to the children and throw it to the dogs. Amen. Glory to God. You know what? That's good to know. When I say this, you'll understand. I don't say this in arrogance or pride, but isn't it good to know we're cared for more than the world is? You know what I mean? We're blessed more than they are. We have a peace that they cannot buy with money. We have a joy that they cannot buy with money. You know, if they get a bad report or an evil report of something in their body, they become hopeless. We are never hopeless. Amen. They're not delivered from fear. We are. We have a Heavenly Father that never runs out, never runs dry, never leaves us, never forsakes us. No matter what we're going through, we always see to the other side. Because the Word tells us what's on the other side. And so we look out, and I sometimes, you know, when you're around, you know, church people and you're in a good church family like this, you know, sometimes you forget just how helpless and hopeless that world is out there until you talk to somebody who's outside of the covenant. You know, all of a sudden I'll be talking to someone, I'll hear what they're saying, be like, my goodness, their life is just frazzled. Everything's upside down. They have no hope for tomorrow. They have no idea what's going on in life. Everything is just, they are just tumbling through life in this chaos, and they're out of control. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. That's how everybody is without Jesus. That's how I was without him. Come on, isn't it good to be in the house of God? Amen. But Jesus was being a good father. Don't feed those dogs until my children are filled. Now, what is the children's bread? Go back over to Matthew 15. I told you we were coming back there. And go to verse 26. Go back up there to verse 26. Remember, Jesus said, it is not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Of course, Mark's gospel included, Jesus said, let the children be filled first. Let the children be filled first. Glory to God. How does that sound when you talk to your father? Father, I thank you. You fill me. Father, I thank you, you feed me. You care for me before you care for the rest of the world. Thank you, Lord, because I'm in covenant with Almighty God. It sure is good. Amen. But look what he said. It's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Let's ask you this question, you know, and if you're not sure, don't shout anything out, but just think about it in your heart. What is the children's bread in this verse? Now, some of you are like, well, I don't know. Pastor's going to pull one on us, so I better not shout one out. Well, you're probably smart for thinking that way. And you know what? You know, in specifically, what does this woman need? She needs healing for her daughter, okay? And so it's been taught, and so it's been preached, even by myself, that healing is the children's bread, which that is not untrue. But there is a greater truth here that we see in the scriptures, what the children's bread actually is. It's actually, healing is just a piece of the bread. It's not all of the bread. What is the children's bread? Let me show you this. Hold your place in Matthew 15 again and go with me to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 6, and let's see what the scripture tells us is the bread, the children's bread, so we can know what it is, and then we're going to put this all together. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in covenant with the Father. Amen. We often hear that the children's bread is healing, which isn't untrue, but there is a stronger truth. Go to John 6, verse 26. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Remember when he had them sit down on the hillside and he divided the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he fed 5,000 people and there was 12 baskets left over? How many of you remember that? Well, now this takes place right after Jesus did that. He went to the other side of the lake, and those same people that ate at the feeding of the 5,000 circle around the lake to go find him again. And this is the interaction that Jesus has with these people who just saw a miracle take place. Watch this. Let's start in verse 26. Praise the Lord. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles," meaning the miracles of the bread and the fish, "but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." All right? Jesus is now reading their mail. They got so excited, they ran around the lake and they caught up with Jesus on the other side. And now they come back and they're talking with Jesus. And now Jesus reads their mail and he says, "You're not seeking me out because you want to believe me because of the miracles. You're seeking me out because you want to eat for free again." He's saying, because you want another handout. You want something because you're not here to put your trust in me. You're not here to imitate me and to be like me and to love God like me. You're here for the bread. Jesus really reads their mail. Verse 27, and then he corrects them. He says, "Labor not for the meat or the bread which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed." Verse 28, then say they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." And they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe you? What dost thou work?" Notice, they've already seen a miracle, but they still didn't believe Christ. Do you see what they wanted? They wanted their natural needs met without becoming Christ-like. Oh, here's the answer. We're going to get into this. Praise the Lord. Now drop down there for the sake of time. In Jesus, and of course they talk about, well, Moses commanded bread to fall from heaven and so on. But Jesus answers them, watch this, in verse 35. Go down there to verse 35. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life." Not healing is the bread of life. Not deliverance from fear is the bread of life. Not prosperity is the bread of life. He said, "I am the bread of life." See what's going on here? He says, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." Notice they wanted the bread, but they didn't want to believe on him. All right? Amen. He says, "But I said unto you," in verse 36, "that you also have seen me and believe not." So the feeding of the 5,000 did not make believers out of these people. Do you see that in the scripture? You know why? Because miracles don't make believers out of people. The scripture, the words make believers out of people. And miracles follow the word being believed. Amen. And so now we could, you know, go on to say, you know, read the rest of John chapter 6. Several times Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came from heaven." All right? So what or who is the children's bread? Jesus is the children's bread. Do you see that in the scripture? Think about this. These people were following Jesus because they got food for free. Jesus wanted to feed them, but he wanted them to trust him and follow him more. He wanted them to follow his example, to love God like he loves God, but all the people cared about is what they got to eat. Do you see this? How many of you know God wants to feed people? But does he want to feed them but yet their faith goes untouched? No. Think about this. There is a space between the will of man and the will of God. Is it the will of man to eat and be well fed? How many of you have that will for your life? Anybody? All right. How many of you want to have more than enough? Does God want you to have more than enough? Is it the will of God to prosper your life? Is it your will and desire that your life prospers? Yeah. Is it God's will that everyone be free from fear? Yes, it is. Is it your will and desire that you be free from fear? So notice that what man wants and desires, God already wants and desires the same things and more than what even people could imagine for themselves. But notice there's a gap. Then if man wants it, and if God wants it for him, where is the disconnection? Where is the space between the will of man and the will of God? If man wills it and God wills it at the same time, why doesn't it happen? For the same exact reason why these people were pursuing Jesus, because it's the same reason why many Christians are pursuing Jesus today. They will follow Jesus, meaning they will be in church. They will do whatever, they'll do whatever it takes if it means they get a better job. They'll do whatever it takes if it means if they could just have healing in their body, if it means they could just be, this, that, and this, if their troubles could be gone, you know what I mean? If things will be taken care of, then they'll be happy and then they can go about their merry way, all right? But the thing is, they want the blessings of Jesus without changing their lives. That is the space in the gap between the will of man and the will of God for man, because they are oftentimes the very same thing. The will of man wants the will of God, but without becoming like Christ, without the dedication of Christ, without the praying of Christ, without the giving of Christ, without the forgiving, without changing their character, their nature, and their decisions. Folks, never forget this. Healing is meaningless unless you purpose to change your heart first. Prosperity is meaningless unless you determine to change your character first. This is the answer of why so many of God's people are running around wanting this, that, and the other thing from God. You can want it, you can say it, you can speak it in faith all day, but it will not happen until your heart is willing to change. I don't know how else to say it better than that. Man wants to be fed, but man doesn't want to be like Jesus. Man wants to be healed, but they don't want to be like Christ. Man wants a miracle. Does God want to perform miracles? Yes, he certainly does. So we have man and God are in agreement except for the issue of character, integrity, loyalty, and dedication. If man would change their heart, if man would look at within themselves instead of just saying, okay, I just want my body healed. Oh, I just want my finances paid. I just want my needs met. I just want to be out of debt. See, there's more testimonies in the body of Christ today of people who are debt-free, right, without hardly any testimonies of anybody who's changed their lives. If faith does not change your life, it is not faith at all. The only kind of faith that God recognizes and understands is faith that changes your behavior. Faith is only faith when it makes you more forgiving, when it makes you more giving, when it motivates you to serve God more, when it motivates you to pray more, when it motivates you to lie less, cheat less. Come on, think about it. God, I want this, I want that, I want this. God, what is God more interested in? The healing of your body or the character of your heart? But what's man usually more interested in? The healing of their body. You know, what's God more interested in? The restoration of your marriage or the character of your heart? The character of your heart. Amen. But, oh, God, just fix my marriage. fix my children, you know, fix my body, fix my finances, fix my job, fix my family. God's saying, yes, 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 and yes. But let's talk about the issue concerning heart issue. Let's talk about mercy. Let's talk about, amen. Let's talk about your generosity. Let's talk about these things. Amen. Now go to verse 27. Go all the way back there to Matthew 15. Go back to Matthew 15. This is going to be the difference for this woman. Here is why Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Are you ready? She's about to break through all societal boundaries. She was going to break into the covenant of God. She was going to touch the very heart of heaven. Watch this. And notice it wasn't because her daughter was sick. It wasn't because she was desperate or her situation was severe. Watch this. Jesus just said, I am not taking the bread of life, the bread that belongs to the children, which is me, and giving it to you. Woo! You think that woman would say, all right, case closed. She did not give up. Watch this. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Look what she said to him. Of course, we're going to come right back to this verse, but go down to verse 28. Jesus is obviously very marveled. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, how great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. What did she will? You know, what did she want? She wanted the healing of her daughter, right? Of course, she wanted the healing of her daughter. That was what she originally showed up for. But notice what Jesus said. You just have what you want because God wanted it for you first. You want it. And God wants it, but she filled the space between man's will and God's will. Why? Go back up to verse 27. What is in this statement that made Jesus so impressed? The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's saying, Lord, I come to you today and I make you my master. Master means one that you follow their example. You believe and rely upon their word. They are trustworthy to follow in everything they say, everything they do. This Syrophoenician woman was different than those people that sat at the feeding of the 5,000. They just wanted more bread. Keep the bread coming. We'll follow you around any lake as long as we just keep getting fed. Don't ask us to be like you. Don't ask us to be dedicated like you. Don't ask us to give or forgive like you. Just give us the food. That's what a lot of Christians are like today. Don't ask me to serve in the local church. Don't require me to tithe. Just give me the healing. Give me my marriage restored. Fix my kids. Give me a better job. Get me out of debt. Jesus said, I have no part with you. Those people, he said, you're just here for the food. You're just here, he said, I didn't do that to just put food in your bellies. I did that so it would wake you up on the inside and say, that is the Son of God. That is the one I should follow. That is my master. That is my Lord. That is my Savior. I should be more like him in word, in deed, and in spirit. What made this woman different? She filled the space between man's will and God's will and said, Lord, I'll change. Lord, you'll be my master. I'll imitate you. I'll follow you. I'll obey you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. She was saying, healing isn't my bread as much as the Lord is my bread. Prosperity isn't my bread as much as the Lord is my bread. I'm not happy until he's pleased. See, the body of Christ is getting too blessing-minded without being change-minded. The space between man's will and God's will, because it's interesting, man's will, our society is crying out for a better economy, better jobs. You know, and it seems like right now they're getting it. Praise God for that. You know, they're crying out for health care. You know, they're crying out for all the things that God said, I want for you too. I want to feed you more than you're being fed. I want to bless you more than you're blessed right now. I want to, not only in your natural material things, I want to bring a peace to you and a joy to you that you've never had before. God's will for man is what man dreams of and desires and spends all their resources trying to get. But where is the disconnection? How do we bridge the gap between what we want and what God wants? We got to bridge that gap by being like Christ. All right, what does that mean? Seriously, you know, that's why, you know, we preached this message this past Sunday, you know, that peace is the source of healing. That sometimes you have to trace back and you have to see, you know, well, you know, if I'm believing God for healing and it's not happening, you know, maybe it's not a healing issue at all. Maybe it's a peace issue. Maybe peace has been eroded. Maybe a lack of forgiveness or mercy or something along the line. I'm offended at somebody and there's a grudge match going on. Remember all that? All right. Well, in the same way, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, we get too blessing-minded. You know, meaning, I want this from God, I want that from God, I want this from God. But do you ever, before, you know, you believe God for your healing or believe God for your prosperity, I mean, do you go before God and examine yourself? Do you go before him and say, like David did, he said, if there's any wicked way in me, show it and reveal it to me. Lord, if I've done this, or Lord, if there's something, Father, I submit. God is more apt to hear somebody like that than he is just someone that says, Lord, I thank you for my healing. And that's the only thing we ever say. Lord, thank you for my money. Is it wrong to say those things? No. You need to say those things. But it better not be in the with the mentality of that you're never coming before God saying, Father, I want my heart to change. I want my heart to change. I need to be more forgiving. I want to look at my life and see, how am I treating people? Where is my generosity at? And I don't mean just tithing and giving to your local church. God, speak to me. Tell me to give to people. Amen. You know, reveal to me the things in prayer. You know, correct me. Amen. So many times, God's people, they're just claiming the blessing, and they're not willing to change. You can claim the blessing all day long, but are you examining your heart? There is no blessing without conviction. Do you know what conviction is? Conviction is when you get in the presence of God and you say, I'm guilty. If you say, Pastor, I never have that experience, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you're missing it. Because, I mean, it's not about guilt. It's not about shame. It's about correction. A father, can you bring up Proverbs 3:12? Just that scripture started playing in my spirit. Actually, you know, it might start with verse 11, but verse 12 works by itself. Oh, I had you right the first time. Go to verse 12. Even though verse 11 sure is good too, though. Go back to verse 11. And then I'll go to verse 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't grow weary of it. I'm glad we started with that, because you know what? You know, Christians, they like, I don't like it. It seems weary to go before God and, you know, learn things that I got to constantly change. That's why the Bible says don't grow weary of it. Why? Because it's going to happen a lot. If you think you're going to go before God, if you come to me, I'm so skeptical of Christians that say, oh, I got into the presence of God. Oh, yeah, what did he tell you about? Oh, he told me he was going to give me this and he's going to give me that. I'm just waiting. Okay, I'm waiting for to hear the correction. Because I've noticed, unless I'm the one missing it, when I get into the presence of God, he deals with the stuff of my character. He starts dealing with me by what I said. He starts dealing with me about mercy and forgiveness. He starts dealing with me about dedication and diligence. He starts dealing with me about prayer time. He starts dealing with me about spending time in the Word. You know, come on. You open, oh, I got in the presence of God. Did you get any correction? No correction. Then I gotta wonder how much you got into the presence of God. Oh, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. You know, when he's correcting you, right? See, when that correction is coming, your will and his will are being bridged. He's bringing his will into your life because that's what he wants most of all. More than your body being healed, he wants your spirit to grow and to be changed. He wants your character to grow. Until you give what God really wants, you aren't going to see what you really want. Because ultimately, that's, you know, the best life that there is a life where your character is constantly being molded and shaped through correction and conviction. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. God's children are becoming so blessing-minded, they are forgetting to please the Father. The space between you wanting something and God wanting the same thing for you needs to be filled with you changing your heart, examining your heart on a regular basis, inviting the correction and the change of God in your character, and then that bridge will, you know, bridge that gap. Praise the Lord. Now we're back over here in Matthew 15. Let's finish it up right here. Go to Matthew 15. All right. She said, "Truth, Lord." We're in verse 27. "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You got to remember, when did she say this? Remember what she was doing in the previous verse? She threw herself on the ground and she's worshiping the Lord. So she didn't just say that casually. She's saying, "True, Lord, but I'm a dog under your table. And when you tell me to come, I'm going to come. When you tell me to go, I'll go. Whatever you say, I will obey. You are my Lord. You are my master. And my heart will be like your heart." That is what that woman is saying there. Jesus wasn't rewarding her because she just came up with a clever saying or that she was just humble. She was submitting herself to be like Christ. Amen. And then verse 28, Jesus says, answered the woman and said, "O woman, even though you are not a Jew, even though you have no covenant, even though you're outside of the promises of God, great is your faith, so be it unto thee, even as you will." Isn't that interesting? Well, it must have been God's will the whole time. All right? But obviously, when her heart was willing to change, when she was willing to say, "I will follow you at all costs," that's when her miracle showed up. Boy, isn't God good? And it says, "And her daughter was made whole," or healed, "from that very hour." So notice what had to get right first. Her heart. Her heart had to get dealt with first. Because it's the will of God that your heart change more than it is your body healed. You understand that? That's why Proverbs 14:30 says this, if you could bring it up, verse that we go to a lot around here, all right? Proverbs 14:30, praise the Lord. "A sound heart is the life of the flesh." That word "life" is the Hebrew word for strength and healing. A sound heart. That word "sound" means to be at peace, all right? Amen. To be at peace in your heart is the life and strength of your flesh, your body. So notice, you cannot cry out for healing without first being willing to be corrected in your heart. Because if that's what you're doing, you're no different than those people sitting at the feeding of the 5,000. They're just following around. Where's the bread? Where's the bread? Jesus said, "You're not here because you want to change your character. You're not here because you want to be more like God. You're here because you got something free. And you'll be, as soon as you get your natural needs met, you won't follow God anymore." Isn't that true? Folks, I've seen it as a pastor. People will come into this church, their life will be a mess. Give it 6 months to a year, their life won't be a mess anymore. And you know what? And there's been people I don't see anymore because their life got fixed by the word and they just said, "Okay, problem solved, I'm gone." Why? Because their problems were more important to them than God. All right. And so what is at the root? See, when I preach healing or prosperity, you know, you don't hear me too often writing sermons or stepping out and preaching you and just telling you, "God's going to give you the money." I don't step out and just say, "God's going to heal your body." Now, that's a good thing to say. But notice what a lot of the sermons are about. You can't just step out and tell Christians God's going to give you the money. Because they'll dance in the aisle. Listen, this sounds terrible. And I don't mean it to be as critical as this is going to sound. There's so many circles today. You could set me in front of them and I could start preaching about how God's going to give them the money, and I could get about every one of them dancing in the aisles over it. You know, but then I could start telling them how, you know, your character is going to need to be changed. You're going to need to repent of that nasty pride. You know, and I'll tell you what, the dancing would stop. You know, you could get people dancing in the aisles about, you know, telling them what God's going to give them, what new job. You could pull people out. You could start prophesying over them. Every form of financial increase, people will dance. They will fall over on the ground. They will roll in happiness and joy and all this stuff. But yet, if you don't tell them that their character has to change, you're not doing them a bit of good. So praise the Lord. And so the goal of this church, this pulpit, is not to, you know, just to say, here comes your healing. Here it is. It's right now. No effort on your part. Nothing in your life that needs to change. See, what God's after most of all. And see, when your heart's right, now the power of God can flow. There's nothing going to restrict it. Did you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's fill that space between the will of man and the will of God, because it's interesting, both are the same. God wants to heal us. We want to be healed. We want to prosper. God wants to prosper us. God wants to perform miracles. We want to see miracles performed. We want to be delivered from fear. He delivers from fear. All what God wants is the same thing that humanity wants, but we must be willing to be corrected. Amen. Did you get some help? See, Jesus said, healing isn't your bread as much as I am. Prosperity isn't your bread as much as I am. Jesus talking here, you understand? You know, just being eliminating fear isn't your bread as much as I am. That's what Jesus wants. You know, he wants us to be like, Lord, I just want to be like you. I want to think like you. I want to speak like you. I want to lay hands on the sick like you do. I want to speak boldly like you do. I want to please the Father like you do. Amen. That's the kind of heart that it takes. Well, you ready to pray here tonight? Can we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just worship God. Let's just, you know, this is real quickly turning into a consecration service. And, you know, I could call people up front, but then again, I would dare say this, we all need to be up front. So you can just stay where you're at, and we'll just consecrate ourselves right where we are. Father God, we just love you and we praise you. Father, you are good. Father, you are so good. You are so merciful. And Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life. You are the children's bread. Your ways, your character, your merciful heart, your generosity, your goodness, your joy, and your peace. Father, that we want to be taught of that. We want to be like that. Father, we want to please you as your children. Father, we thank you. You have brought us to your table. You have given us your name. We are in covenant with you. We have access. We have promise. We have approach to you. And Father, we thank you so much. We praise you, Lord. And Father, we just stand before you tonight and we just say what David said. Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, reveal it unto us and lead us in the way everlasting. Father, I know and I believe that everybody here, if they will be sober with themselves, if they'll be honest with themselves, Father, it won't take long to hear in our heart where we need to change. Lord, you are constantly bringing us from glory to glory. And Father, we quote that scripture a lot in our circles. And Lord, if we are going to quote that scripture, we got to do that scripture. And there's no greater glory than being more like you. So Father, we praise you. And Father, tonight we stand before you. We invite correction. And Lord, I know in my life the changes. I know, Father, what I need to do. Just like at any given time, there are things to do, things to change. And Father, I just believe right now, if these hearts are open to you, and if they're crying out for correction, they'll know in their heart real quickly what it is they need to do. And Father, I believe you're telling them right now. And the answer to each one of us is different from the next. We all have different assignments. But Father, we just consecrate and dedicate ourselves to you tonight. Father, for your will for us is good. And Father, we want your will to be done in our life. Lord Jesus, you said that your will was, your meat was to do the will of the Father. Your bread was to do the will of the Father. And so, Father God, that is our bread, to do the will of the Father. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Father, correct us. Father, teach us, instruct us, show us, reveal to us the parts in our lives that need to be changed. Father, a lack of consecration, a lack of dedication. Show us, Father, if need be. And so, Father, we just stand before you tonight. We consecrate ourselves before you tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Father, when our hearts are right, we say, we are the healed of the Lord. And Father, when our hearts are right, we say that, Lord, you prosper us. You said, let the children eat first. Let the children be filled. Thank you, Father. When our hearts are right, we say we are filled, we are blessed, nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. Thank you, Father. But first things first, our heart has got to be right and sold out to you. Lord, we thank you for the story of the Syrophoenician woman. She sold out. She came in desperate for healing, but she left knowing that she needed to follow you as her master. So, Father, we just thank you. Father, I pray for every single one that's here tonight, that, Father, they would leave this service and they would walk in a higher level of consecration. Tonight would be the night. They get their change. They move in the right direction. And, Father, we just love you and praise you. Come on, everybody. Let's just worship for a moment. Father, we love you. We glorify you. You are good. You are merciful and gracious. Father, we thank you for your patience. We thank you for your goodness. Father, we just worship you and praise you. Father, we thank you with all of our heart. We thank you. We have nothing good apart from you. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're our covenant God. We are your covenant children. You're faithful to us. We'll be faithful to you. And Father, tonight we're going to take an opportunity to give to the house of the Lord. And Father, every time we give, every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be generous to you. For Father, you are so far more generous to us. We just thank you. We praise you. Father, we worship you with our giving. We worship you with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. Did you get some help here tonight? Yeah. See, we can't make healing just about the body. It's always got to come back to the heart. We can't make prosperity just about the money. We got to always bring it back and make it about the heart. Amen. We can't just make it, you know, make our marriage just about natural things. We got to bring it back to our heart, right? Amen. Because if your heart will prosper, everything else will follow suit. Amen. Let's just rejoice and give God the glory tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we praise you. We glorify you tonight. Father, you are holy. You are good. Father, I command your hand of blessing upon each one that is here. Father, I thank you that you promote and you raise up godly men and women in this congregation to serve your will in all things. And Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You are